again. Well, let's just, let me see. It's all good. Let's start in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Word of God says this. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul's writing to Timothy, son in the faith. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's how the gospel goes on and on and on. We take it in, we give it out. It's been working for 1,900 years. Say, how long we got to do this? Till the Lord comes back. Amen. Amen. I don't know how long it's going to be. It's not relevant to me. Yeah. I know He's coming. I don't waste time wondering about when He's coming. My concern is being found faithful when He does. Verse 3, thou, again, he's talking to who? Timothy. Thou therefore, because of what he just said, because of the grace in Christ Jesus that you're going to need, the commission to commit those things that you've learned that he's been taught unto faithful men. Thou therefore, endure hardness. Why? Because the devil doesn't like that. It says in 1 Corinthians 16 somewhere, it says, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. And that's what we've got. We've got a great door because we have the truth. Amen. And it's effectual. Say, how do you know? Change my life. Change my eternity. Did more than that. Lord will do more than save your soul if you'll let him. It says in Luke chapter 9, let me read it. I haven't looked at it in a while. Luke chapter 9 somewhere. It's important to me. I'm going to find it. Well, I'll take a break. I'm looking for it. I'm going to find it. Let me see. Where is it, honey? Luke chapter 9. I came not to destroy men's life. Verse 56. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. amen. Boy, I got a hold of that, and I realized that Lord saved my soul in a jail cell. He did more than that. He saved my life. I got a good life. I enjoy my life. I never would have dreamed that I'd be out of prison. I never dreamed I'd, amen, ever get a chance to serve the Lord. Never thought I'd be a preacher. Never dreamed, never envisioned that. Jesus Christ did that. I don't claim any of that. Verse 3, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you tonight about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is not a how to be saved message. We've hit on that. We've had some fruit from that. And tomorrow's another day. But tonight, I want to preach a message on this thought right here. How to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so there's been many messages on this. Now, I'm going to base this on my experience as a soldier, my experience as a United States paratrooper. All right, so that's where we're going tonight. Father, I love you. I thank you for grace, oh my soul, I thank you for grace. And I thank you for your love, Lord God, that you committed toward us and that while we're yet sinners. Thank you for the cross. Thank you. I'm sorry it took that to save the likes of us, but I'm sure glad you're willing to do it. And I pray that as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord this week and in the days to come, I pray that somehow our lives might show that we're thankful. And help us not just to put our salvation on the list of our accomplishments and work it into our lives, and help us to it to be the main thing so that others might see it, so they might inquire, so that we might tell them of your love and grace and your ability to save to the uttermost all that will call upon thee. I love you tonight, Lord. I pray you'd help me preach. I don't know the needs here tonight. I never claim to. If there's someone lost, I pray you'd save them. Yeah, most people probably are, so I pray you'd help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and get a hold of this thing about being a good soldier. You told Timothy, thou therefore endure hard as a good soldier. And we're soldiers anyway. I want to be a good one. I love you tonight, Lord. Bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Verse 4 there, it said this. It says, no man at war hath entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. So, Lord Jesus, you're saved tonight. You've been chosen to be a soldier. So, my way of thinking is this. Might as well be a good one. Amen. I mean, you've been here every night some of you. It's Saturday night. It tells me something. There's a desire in there somewhere. You're not satisfied with the mundane. You're not satisfied with the average. You're not satisfied with being a weekend warrior. I want to believe tonight you want to be a good soldier. So that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Number one, to be a good soldier. Now, like I say, we're going to base this on my experience, and then we'll bring it to the Bible. You got to enlist. You got to enlist. Now, there's many men and women in the army, but being in the army in and of itself did not make you a paratrooper. Amen? All right? So let me tell you about that. In 1971, I went to infantry school in Fort Polk, Louisiana. They had a lot of affectionate names for that post within the army, and none of them I can repeat. Amen. It was a pretty rough place, and it was a training ground for Vietnam, and it was swamp, and it was pretty miserable. But I went through it and did well and graduated in January of 1972. And at graduation, the entire company was issued orders for Vietnam to join. They were given 30-day leave and then issued orders to join an infantry division in the war zone. Then a drill sergeant stepped forward with a clipboard, and he called off 10 names. And those were the names of the men that had volunteered to go above and beyond and apply for paratrooper school and take the test. And these 10 passed, and I was on the list. And so I asked to become a paratrooper. I had to enlist. Everybody in the Army's not one. It's not automatic. You got to make it. Hey, you got to decide you want to go further and give a little more. And so that's how that went. And I signed up for it, and I got chosen. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord sent me to Europe for 30 months. And my mom said it's a good thing, because knowing you, you'd have been killed the first day. And I probably would have been. But we're talking about the spiritual application. And I want to tell you tonight that if you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to enlist. You're going to have to enlist. Just like everyone in the army was not a paratrooper, everyone that's saved is not a good soldier. To be a good soldier of Christ, okay, you need to make up your mind. You need to purpose in your heart. You need to make a conscious decision that you are not just willing to go above and beyond, but that you want to. That you want to endeavor to give the Lord your best. And I'll tell you what will help you if you're willing to step out by faith and make that kind of commitment. Here's what will help you. Get around other people that also want to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. It says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So let me tell you something, with the best of intention, you hang around, you spend much time hanging around, lost people are plastic, phony, styrofoam Christians. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying they don't love Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, they're not good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and you won't be either. You need to hang around some good soldiers, and you'll be one too. You know what the motto of the paratroopers is this, all the way. I got a mug on the mantle at home, beautiful mug my mother bought me at graduation. I mean, it's got like silver leaf, you know. I wouldn't dare drink anything out of it. I don't know how it survived these 45 years since graduation, but it has a pair of silver wings on it, and it says, all the way. And that was our motto. Our motto is not halfway. Our motto is not three quarters of the way. Our motto is not, well, depending on what day it is. or depending on how I feel. The motto of the paratroopers was all the way. And when we met an officer and we saluted, that officer would say, "How far?" And our response was, "All the way and then some, sir." I'm going to tell you what, if there's anyone that deserves that kind of commitment, it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, I get it, man. I understand we fail sometimes. But don't fail to try. Don't settle in for the mundane. Don't grasp some idea, well, this is the best I can do. That book says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So if you're ever going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that was the commission that Paul gave to his son in the faith, Timothy, and has been passed on to us because the Holy Spirit of God saw fit to leave it in this Bible that we believe, that we embrace. Amen. If you're ever going to be able to say that, do that, be that, God deserves that, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to go and bum me. You're going to have to volunteer. You're going to have to enlist. Next, you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to endure some things. Our text says, endure hard. Paratrooper school for me was a challenge. I know guys that were athletes. I know guys that were disciplined. And I went through school with some of them. And, you know, they didn't hardly break a sweat. It wasn't that way for me. I joined the military to get away from my parents who wanted to tell me how to live. I was tired of being told how to wear my hair. I was tired of being told how to dress. So I joined the Army. I know, it doesn't make sense now looking back. But I wasn't there for the right reason. I was a no-character country boy that was caught up with the rebellious spirit of our country in the late 60s and the 70s. And when I got there, I don't think a day went by where I didn't wonder, what did I get myself into? But I tell you what, I kept going. I tell you what, there were days that I wanted to quit. I made it through basic, that was easy. I made it through infantry school. That was a bit more of a challenge. Did really well with light weapons. Amen. I mean, come on. I like guns. Everybody likes guns, right? Yeah. Good answer. Amen. Hope you're packing because I am not. Amen. But then I said, if we go to paratrooper school, listen, we 306 started the class and 98, something like that, graduated. If I would have dropped out, no one would have known. No one would have cared. But you know what kept me going? My dad was a combat veteran, World War II, infantryman, 37th Infantry Division, water-cooled machine gunner, matter of fact. And he was my hero. He's one of my heroes. And even though I was a rebel, I still respected him very much. And when I ever did get him to ever say anything about the war, which is very rarely, until after I became a veteran, I tell you, there was a look in his eye when he was on perimeter and they had a reconnaissance team coming back in from out front. And he said there was airborne rangers coming in. And he said, them guys were different. Them guys, the way they carried themselves was different than regular army. And my dad looked up to them. I saw, by the way, he would tell me that he respected them and I respected him. And so I said, maybe I'll get my dad's respect if I become one of them. How foolish. I didn't need to do that. I didn't have to do that. My dad loved me. But that's how kids are. I wanted it on my terms, you know. So on those days, sometimes we're running 7-8 miles. This is before tennis shoes and jogging outfits, buddy. We were running PT and jump boots. And there were days where I wanted to quit and guys would drop out. And I'm thinking, yeah, man, what am I doing? You know what would come back to mind? That, my dad telling me this story. You know what kept me going when I wanted to quit? I did it for my father. Yeah. You think about that for a minute. Amen. Our text says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And there's, listen, this is no party. There is going to be one. It's at the end. Yep. Amen. But between now and then, there's some hardness. Amen. And so if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to endure the hardness of study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's harder for some than it is for others. That's hard for me. I'm not bookish. Amen. That's not, I get to studying and my garage is calling me. And I don't, you know, I mean, that's not what I like to do. But I'm going to tell you, hey, to be a good soldier, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to do it. Amen. And you know what? In the airborne infantry, like I say, I was a weapon specialist. So you know what we did for 2.5 years? We trained with our weapons continuously. I'm ID-214 on the little box that gives a civilian equivalent occupational code for what the military taught me. It says N.A. I mean, there's no civilian equivalent. That's why I joined a motorcycle gang. But we trained with our weapons. And when I got called to preach about 11 months after I got saved, I said to my preacher, I said, what do I do? What do I do now? He said, learn the Bible. Well, I knew enough Bible to know this. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Word of God is referred to as the sword of the Spirit. And being a soldier, I thought to myself, yeah, just train with the weapons. Amen. Get proficient. It's not just important. It's imperative. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Approved. Yeah, okay. I thought I missed my word. It's imperative to be a good soldier. It's imperative to study the Word of God. To be approved unto God. And listen, a few hundred years ago, people were murdered. People were burned at the stake, concealing and hiding and getting the assembly of what became our King James Bible. They were dying for the Bible. The least we can do is get a hold of it and study it. And if we don't, because we have it, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, because we have it, and if we don't take advantage of it, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. And there's a lot of folks out there, and they don't even want to hear that stuff. Sometimes they get up and stomp out when you say it. Oh, well, I don't care. It's a big deal to me. I'm a Bible believer. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm like her. I'm not ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Where'd you get that, Brother Spurgeon? Right there. All right. So you must endure. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, and you're going to have to endure hard. The training for me was hard. I made it, but it was hard. And sometimes to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, some of the things they're not so easy, but what does that got to do with it? You must endure the hardness of separation. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So number one, you got to enlist, but number two, you got to endure. And you're going to have to endure the hardness of study. Say, I don't like it. Oh, okay, I'm with you, man. Do it anyway. Amen. And then you must endure the hardness of separation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them. Who's the them? Read the Bible on your own. Read the chapter. It's pretty clear. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Let me tell you something about U.S. paratroopers. Now, I wasn't in the regular army, only through a little bit of training. But I know this, and it appealed to me. And U.S. paratroopers were held to a higher standard than the rest of the military, than the rest of the army. We are held to a higher standard in conduct. We are held to a higher standard in haircut. We are held to a higher standard in appearance at all times. Amen. And I like that. Amen. Let me tell you something. good soldiers of Jesus Christ ought to understand that it's reasonable to be held to a higher standard than just everybody else. Nowadays, it's almost a bad word to say the word standard, to say the word Holy Ghost conviction. Let me tell you something. Holy Ghost conviction is what makes this Bible believing Christianity different than every other kind of religion. Yeah. We got a personal relationship with the Lord of glory, and he speaks to your heart if you want him to, if you let him, and he'll tell you some things. He doesn't tell everybody the same thing, but he better be saying something to you. And again, this day and age of standards, let me tell you something, man. I had a guy say, well, I don't want to be confused with a Pharisee. I'm going to say, don't worry about that, pal. You'll never be confused of being a Christian at all. Amen. This kumbaya, do whatever you want. I don't know, whatever. That ain't for me. I'm a soldier at heart. The book says be a good soldier, endure hardness as a good soldier. It ain't no big deal to put a tie on. It ain't no big deal to give God my best. It ain't no big deal. Amen. It really isn't. This isn't my comfort zone. I wore a black t-shirt with the sleeves cut off and the neck slit for 15 years. This is not my comfort zone. I'm not in this for my comfort. Amen. Usually it quenches the spirit about then. I don't care about that either. Let me tell you something. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you this too. If you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, there's some things you're not going to be able to do. There's some places you're not going to be able to go. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, are you a legalist? I said, is that funny thing to say to me or what? You know what I said? I mean, I was a professional outlaw. You know what I said to him? I said, I don't know, man. Are you an illegalist? Somebody told me, they said, well, we have liberty. Do you really think the liberty that you have? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You really think that the liberty that you have as a born again, secure, eternally secure child of God means you can do whatever you want? You know why that can't be true? Because that's what lost people do. That's what I did when I was lost. I did whatever I wanted. Amen. How can I mean that? The liberty that you have as a born again, spirit-filled child of God gives you the freedom to do something you couldn't do before you got saved. You know what that is? That means live for Jesus Christ. That means you can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hold on a second. Watch how I do this. Amen, Brother Spurgeon. Amen. See, we got to learn that on the road. You got to amen ourselves sometimes. Some of you are saying, I want my money back. I don't care. You ain't getting it back. You got to have to endure some things. Endure hardness. You got to have to endure the hardness of separation. You know, well, when I got saved, the old crowd, some of them were worried that I might become a threat. I don't know if you understand what that means or not, and I'm not going to go into it. Some of them decided that we ought not take the chance. You figure that out. Tell you something. That was a little hard after 15 years of unquestioned loyalty. Amen. I didn't turn on them. I didn't even quit. I became a new creature in Christ. I'm glad I endured some hardness, though, because after 20 years, after writing that book, I had two outlaws come to hear me preach last November. I've got emails. I'm in communication with the very guy that put the contract on me. I've been writing to him for 2 years trying to win him to Jesus Christ. I believe God can save anybody. And if I'd have went out and ran and folded and just, you know, try to hide in the shadows, all that stuff, I would never. These folks know me. And they know I'm serious, and they know I'm committed, and they look, and after 20-some years, they said, there must be something to that. And I'm going, hello. Oh, there's something to this. But I'm going to tell you what, if I wouldn't have endured the hardness of separation, I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't get through to them now. Amen. To be a good soldier All right, I'm not talking about how to be saved. I'm not saying, do you love Jesus? I'm trying to help some of you at the fourth day here on how to be a good soldier. And you need to endure the hardness of study. And if you're not in your Bible the way you ought to be, well, address it. Address it. Get in it. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes it keeps us from ever aspiring to be a good soldier is we can't make the break. Can't make the break. I know people that are saved that never made any progress, no spiritual growth, let alone ever had a real opportunity to witness to their old friends and relatives because they never saw enough difference in them to see that they had something that they needed. Amen? You're going to have to endure the hardness of study. You're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. You're going to have to endure the hardness of service. To be a good soldier, I'm not adding works to nothing. I get all that, but I'm trying to help you be a good soldier. Amen. It says this. Let me just say it like this. Going to the street corner, going to church, going to Sunday school. There will be Sunday school tomorrow. I'm doing it. I expect you to be here. Okay, I pray you come. How about that? That better? I hope you come. Amen. Say, are you kidding me? I ain't never coming back while you're here. I don't care. No, I do. I have feelings too. Where are they again? I don't know what I do with them. Okay, anyway. Listen, going to church, man, going to participating in things like the nursing home or going to jail or going passing out tracts at the cruise inn, which sounds like a lot of fun, actually. Going door to door, going to the jails and all that stuff, that's not, do you think that's a big deal? People think that's a big deal. That's not a big deal, those things. I'm going to tell you why. It says in Luke 17 and 10, so likewise, ye, when you shall have done all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do, man. That's just doing your duty. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let me tell you something about real soldiers. At least this is the way it was in 1971, 2, 3, and 4, back when I was on active duty. Real soldiers don't carry victim cards. I don't know, I've heard some things these days I hope aren't true, you know. But I'll tell you the way it was when I was in. Every one of my DIs was a combat veteran, and more than a few guys decided to try them on. And we had a pit behind the mess hall, and I'd seen more than a few guys go into the pit. What are you talking about? I'm talking about hand-to-hand, buddy. I'm talking about fist fight. I'm talking about some big old boys from Cleveland and Detroit going into the pit with a little guy about 5'7", and I never seen one of the DIs lose. Nowadays, if you yell at them, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this. Real Christians don't wave victim cards either. I'm going to tell you what they are. They're looking for opportunities to serve. Amen. And we like to pretend enduring hardness has something to do with persecution. Yeah, let me tell you something. You ever hand out a tract, get a door slammed in your face, or get a dirty look, or oh God forbid somebody flips you off. You know, that stuff's not persecution. You know what the hardest thing about being a Christian is? Saying no to your stinking flesh. That's the hardest thing we endure. Amen. You know how I can prove it? Most of our problems come because we don't say no to our flesh. How many times do pastors have to listen to people explain the circumstance they're in, and he's looking at the Bible, and he's looking at them, and he's looking at the Bible, and he's going, seriously? I mean, come on! That's the problem. Just saying no. Amen. To be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure the hardness of service. And it's reasonable service. Acceptable to God. What's that mean? It's not a secret. Amen? It's you surrendering your will to His and asking Him to show you. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. It's not hard. Amen. I don't want to conflict my message. Being a servant of Jesus Christ is it's reasonable. Amen. And he'll bless you for it. All right, and then on this point, we're talking about number one was in a list. You got to sign up. You got to make up your mind. It's not automatic. You don't get picked out of a group. You get an opportunity to volunteer, and then you commit. And so you enlist. And then number two, you endure. And you endure some hardness. That's what it says. Endure hardness. And in the context, he's talking about be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because to live as a child of God in this day and age, in that day and age, how much more so now? You're going to have to be strong in him. That's why Ephesians 6:10 says this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I know some pretty tough boys, but I don't know anybody that's a match for him. Neither do you, including you. Quit kicking against the pricks. Amen. Let's his purpose to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's sign up. You can. Say, well, I don't think I can. Well, without him, you can. Amen. But if you could, you'd grab the glory for yourself anyway, so he's not going to allow that. But I'll tell you know what the thing is? It says in Psalm 37, everybody loves this verse, I delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's a name it and claim it mentality. Oh, I just love Jesus and I want that Cadillac. Oh, yeah, man, I've heard it. Name it and claim it. I guess they never read the next verse, or it doesn't say it in whatever version they're using, because the next verse says, commit thy way, trust in him also, and he shall bring it to pass. And there's some commitment required on our part, and you know what? The benefit's yours. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know why? Because the desires of your heart will be to serve him. And he'll bless you for it. Amen. All right, then, enlist and endure. And how about this? You must endure the hardness of submission. And this is probably the hardest one of all. It says there in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I heard a lady say, the devil doesn't flee. And I said, well, hello. Wonder what the problem is. What does submit yourselves therefore to God mean? It means do what he said. That's what it means. Yes, sir. All the way and then some, sir. It means do what God said. There's a precious old saint of God over in Phoenix City, Alabama. And she was a lady, elderly lady, maybe late 70s. And she is blind. And she had gone blind. Her husband was a pastor, 40 years, and they were a great couple, and he got cancer and died. And she was really dependent upon him, and he brought her to church. Well, after that, you know, other church members took up the slack, brought her to church. Her name was Mrs. Woodard, and we'd come down there and preach on occasionally. He'd walk in out of room, and he'd say, hello, Mrs. Woodard, and, you know, she's blind. She would hold her hand out. That's the way blind people, they hold their hand out. You know, you got to get it. And a real precious saint of God, and I says, how you doing today? And you know what she would say? I heard her say this. I never heard anybody else ever say this. And she said, oh, I'm doing fine, Brother Spurgeon, just thanking God for one more day to submit to him. I mean, she woke up in the morning and realized she was still breathing and said, oh, thank you, Lord, for giving me another day to submit to you. Buddy, that's high ground. Who thinks like that? I'll tell you who. Good soldiers think like that. Good soldiers are part of a unit. Amen? Submitting yourselves. It says in Ephesians 5 and 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I was in the 1st Battalion, 509th Airborne Infantry Battalion Combat Team. Amen. I was part of a unit. We worked together. We had each other's back. That's how we are trained. That's how it worked. Everybody knew their job. The battlefield is no place for rebels, no place for loose cannons, amen, no place for insurrection, because it'll get other people hurt, amen. And, buddy, we're on a battlefield now. A good soldiers understand there's a chain of command. Amen. It says in Hebrews 13 in verse 7, remember them that have the rule over you. Some people, these verses in Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you. Salute them that have the rule over you. Some people, I mean, they're gifted, they're intelligent, they've got plenty of potential, and they'll never be good soldiers because they won't endure the hardness of submission. Amen. It's too bad. It's too bad. That has prevented many from being a good soldier. Well, I tell you what that does. It opens up positions for people like me. Just people with nothing else to do but to take this thing more seriously than anything I've ever taken in my life. Amen. I'm glad I had a good leader. I'm glad I learned to say yes, sir. Amen. God's blessed it. Hardness of submission. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to endure some hardness. Now, these things, some of them are harder than others, okay? But let me help you with that. When it gets hard and you think, well, I can't do this, do it for your Father. Amen. Do it for the Lord. He didn't quit on you. That helps me. It helped me in the secular context, and it helps me now. Amen. He doesn't make you do any of these. I'm not a good prisoner of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good soldier. This is all willing. You don't have to. Everybody in the army wasn't a paratrooper, wasn't a Green Beret, wasn't a Ranger. Everybody wasn't. And there's a place for everybody, don't get me wrong. But why would you settle for being less than your potential? Amen. Brother Grisham's sitting there, and he's going, what is this army stuff? I was a Marine. But he understands everything I'm saying. Because I'm going to tell you what, we know about something about esprit de corps. And about a desire to give more than is required. Now, we did it for our country. Why not do it for our Savior? All right, and then here's where I say, last of all, you know, it's early, so don't get excited. Number one was enlist. Number two was endure. Number three, to be a good soldier, I'm talking about being a paratrooper, you had to exit. You had to exit. All that training, 3 weeks of intense training in Fort Benning, Georgia, did not make you a paratrooper. I mean, graduation came, you had to get in an aircraft and actually exit it while in flight 5 times. I watched guys that got sprained their ankle on the 4th jump. Boy, I feel sorry for them, buddy. They got recycled. Amen. Glad I didn't. 5 times. Get your wings. Let me tell you something. We'll wrap it up here. Once on the aircraft, there were 8 jump commands. 8 jump commands. We got 100 people, depending on what aircraft we were in, but in a C-130, I can't even remember anymore, 60, 70 men, never jumped out of an airplane before, been in school for weeks and weeks, and mentally they're ready, and then there's 8 jump commands. And they go like this. Number one, get ready. And then stand up. Inboard personnel, stand up. Outboard personnel, stand up. Hook up. You'd hook that static line. Says, oh, you jumped with a static line. Listen, we weren't doing county fairs. We were jumping with 150 to 200 pounds of combat equipment. You hear me? Hook that static line up, and then the next command was check static line. That's pretty important. Yeah, that's when you looked up and made sure that little pin was true, because if that baby comes off, you're going to hit the ground like a rock falling at terminal velocity 120 miles an hour. You want to check the static line. That's your static line, child of God. You better check and make sure you're lined up with this thing. Amen. All right, and then the next jump command was check equipment. Now here, now you're standing up. You got 2 sides because you got 2 paratrooper doors. All that jumping off the ramp on the back, there's a lot of Hollywood there, and there's some special forces that did that. But we went outside doors, paratrooper doors. That's how it worked. That way you're running out 2 sticks at one time. Say, what are you talking about? Don't worry about it. And so now we're standing up, and we're tight, and you've got a reserve parachute on, and you're right butted right up against the guy in front of you, his main chute, and same thing, and it's that way all down the line. And a jump master says, check equipment. So you look, man. You look at your riser straps. You check out your exert, but that's all you can do because you can't turn around now. You're nothing. You know what you do? You check the guy's equipment in front of you, and you look it all over, and you make sure nothing got twisted or nothing's routed wrong. And that guy's counting on you, and you got a guy behind you, and you're counting on him. Like I said, we're a team. And the next command will sound off for equipment check, and it started at the back. Okay, okay. And when that last guy standing there next to that door said, okay, that jump master said, stand in the door. And that door was open. That aircraft was slowed down to 150 miles an hour. And the first guy, and I got to be the first guy six or seven times on a fixed wing, and you'd stand there in that open door of that aircraft at 2,000 feet, 1,200 to 2,000 feet, depending, and your toes are sticking out about that far, and you're putting your arms on the outside of the aircraft, and that's what it's all about, because there for a few seconds, that is the neatest view you're ever going to experience in your life. Yeah. So you're standing there, and there's a big red light in your peripheral vision. And it's about that big around, and it's red. And right under, it's a green one, but the red one's on. And that red light comes on when you're 6 minutes from the drop zone, and that's when they start standing you up and getting you ready. And that first guy in the door, the rest of the guys got it easy. All they got to do is follow the guy in front of them. But that first guy, he's standing there, and he's waiting. And I'll tell you what, the last jump command is go. And I'll tell you, when that jump master says go and that light turns green, and I'll tell you what, you got about 8 seconds to empty that aircraft because that airplane ain't going to be over that drop zone very long. And that last jump command is go. And I'll tell you, we had to go five times in 4 to 5 days, depending on the weather, and then we got our wings. Then we became paratroopers. I'm going to tell you something. You're ever going to be a good soldier. Hey, we had to exit, and if you're ever going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to exit too. You can take Bible Institute classes. You can go to Sunday school. You can study all day long. But all the training in the world does not make you a good soldier. You're going to have to put it into practice. He said to the maniac Gadara, okay, of all guys, the original airborne ranger, he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And hath had compassion on thee. That's what he tells us in this day and age. He tells us to go. In Luke 14 and 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, that's us, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? You don't just wait for hope somebody comes in the door. You go out there. And you invite them. Compel them. I mean, conduct yourself in such a way that they might find a reason to be interested in what it is you've got. What it is you're talking about. Amen? We're not putting a rock band on stage. We're not having pizzas to get people in. If you got to use a pizza to get people in church, the devil will get them out with a hamburger. Amen? You lose control of your music, you'll never get it back. That's what people do to fill up buildings, and they do. But he said, my house is a house of prayer. This is a place where Jesus Christ gets the preeminence. And people need Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what else they need. They need somebody to take this thing seriously enough to decide to purpose in their heart, with God's help, I get that, to give God their best. Amen. Some people give better at their job, amen, than they do when it comes time to... I don't get that. You hear me? Ha ha. We'll see in a minute, won't we? If you're ever going to be... He told him in Mark 16, go ye in all the world. Amen. Preach the gospel to every creature. How am I going to do that? I live in Hastings, Minnesota. How am I going to go? You got a missionary here tonight. You got other missionaries up. That's how you go into all the world. You support other people that are going into all the world. You want to reach America? You guys pray for us. Pray for us. We'll be out there on your behalf. Berean Bible Baptist Church. You hear me? That's how you do it.
But you got to go. You got to understand that this is the commission. To be a good soldier, you got to exit. And if you can't go yourself, you got to pray. And you got to help them. Are you with me?
All right. If you're ever going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that's the context. You're going to have to find a place and get in the fight somewhere. It said this in verse 4, and I'm really closer to being done now than the last time I said it. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's you, beloved. Are you saved tonight? You've been chosen to be a soldier. Might as well be a good one. Amen. That's what I think. Three things to help you tonight. Number one, you got to enlist. Are you enlisted? First of all, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. Amen. I mean, you got to be in the service before you can be a good soldier. You got to be a soldier. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You can be saved. Got to save anybody. But you can be saved and not be a good soldier. You know, we had guys in the army that went AWOL. I mean, they were absent without leave. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're absent without leave for 30 days, you become a deserter. Now, desertion in time of war was an executionable offense. I don't know about now. But if anybody would have ever called me and asked me my opinion on what to have done with Bergdahl, I'd have been happy to tell them what I thought. That guy was a paratrooper. I'd beat the snot out of him tonight if he walked in. I tell you, I don't like that stuff. That wasn't in my notes. My wife is going, what? If you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to enlist. If you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to endure hardness. Are you? Or are you just whining all the time? Playing the victim card. I know, man, all over the country. I'm in church every week. Pastors, I try to be a blessing to churches. Pastors are my friends. They can talk to me, but they can't talk to other people because my wife and I don't take stuff from church to church. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's a bunch of Christians ought to be ashamed of themselves. They took the best God had to offer. They ain't gave back much, but they're always whining and complaining, criticizing, armchair quarterbacking. That ain't a good soldier. You hear me? You might be in this church tonight and you'd like to be a better soldier, but you're so entangled in the affairs of this life. Hey, listen, where do you think getting unentangled starts? It starts at an old-fashioned altar asking God to help you. Maybe you got some habits that you need to get some victory over. Maybe you need some financial thing. You got to get started somewhere. And you never know. You get God in on it, you'll thank him. It'll be easier for you to be a better soldier. Let's get unentangled. And maybe you're saved and you know some Bible and you even didn't hate most of this message like a lot of you seem to have. It's all right. But have you exited? Have you exited? You know, we got a lot of armchair generals. You know, you talk about armchair quarterbacks. We got a lot of armchair, you know, field commanders in the service of the Lord. I had a guy say one time, I don't think you're doing it right. And I don't know what it was. I said this. I said, well, I tell you the truth. I prefer the way I'm doing it wrong to the way you're not doing it at all. Amen. I can be corrected. Can you? Amen. And let me say this too. Now, you know I love this church. If you've been at it, and some of you have been at it. Some of you have been at it a while. I'll tell you what. By all means, stay at it. It's a good fight. We sing that song, hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus, signal still. Amen. 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 Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Victory is nigh, is what it says in there. All right? How to be a good soldier. Some of you say, well, I know already. I know you do, because you've been good examples to me and my wife. And I thank you for it. And we want to be the same to you. So let's stand. And, you know, Lord dealt with your heart in any of these ways, then come pray. Come pray. Let's do business with God and make it a good night in the Lord.